Okay, we're on lesson three, love and forgiveness, page two. We're on page two. And let's turn to verse two, 1 Corinthians 13, 2. 1 Corinthians.
You're on verse three, right?
We're using these pages. Where is it? Do you have those?
I have page one, but
but see up here, verse two.
Okay,
so let me have your attention for just a second, just because everybody seems to be confused, so let me just help you. All of you have this page, correct?
Yes.
Okay. If you look at that page, you see it says verse 1, and it gives you the verse, and then there's a space. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then it says verse 2, gives you the verse, then there's a space, et cetera, all the way down to verse 7. Mm-hmm. What I'm doing here is I'm giving you the verse we're working on. We are now working on verse 2. And what you should be doing is you should be noting in that blank space the things that you're picking up in verse 2. Everybody understand that? You're taking notes in that space that's under the verse. That's what we're doing. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah, no, and what confused them was you said page two instead of verse
two. Okay.
But I want to make sure, because I've had Wendy has mentioned that it troubles her because she hasn't got it. I want to make sure that I figure if it's her and Jerry and maybe some of you others. Do you understand what I just said? That each one of those, that space is for you to make notes and the comments that I'll make, okay? And what we do here. Then, okay, so we'll put a period on this, right? Everybody understands that. That goes here. Then what I'm going to do is when we finish a verse, I'm going to give you my notes so you'll have your notes and my notes. Does everybody understand that? When you finish the verse.
You've given us.
Everybody get it?
Yes.
At the end of the lesson, we will get that.
Well, we're almost done. We're almost done with verse 2. Yeah, that's the one we finished. You have that, okay? But you have one of these too, right?
You should be on verse
2. Excuse me. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
How come? Hey, I have a question. Here's a question. Why is it? Does everybody not understand that? In other words, you start off with this page, and in that space, whatever we talk about, you make your own notes. And then at the end, when we're finished with verse 2, and we're almost finished with it now, I'll give you page 2 for your notes, and we'll move on to page 3, and we'll repeat the process. You'll take your notes, and then when we finish page 3, I'll give you my notes on it. So you have your notes and my notes, and the reason I'm doing that is because normally what we do in class is we do it where I give you the notes, and the answers are on it, right? I give you the answers in my notes. So what I want to do is I want you to put what you think in here. I want you to note it yourself. And then afterward, you'll have the answers in my notes. It's that simple. It's very simple. It's a different type of study. And the purpose of it is this. Here's the purpose of it. The purpose of it is to help you think more rather than looking at the... Rather than just looking at the handout sheet with all the information on it, I want to give it to you as a blank so that you can fill it in because that's going to cause you to think. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know the reason why, it's very simple. Sometimes I've done this because I've been doing this for years. Sometimes I'll say to the class, okay, what did we say last week about this? Nobody raises their hand. Why? Because they're used to having the notes in front of them. I want you to write them out so that so that they'll be ingrained in you, and then I'll give them to you after as a backup. It's that simple. It's just another way of teaching, and it's a way to make you have a better understanding of this rather than just giving you the notes and all the answers. That clear? Okay.
So we're starting on page one. What verse?
No, we're starting on page, okay, look at me. We're on verse 2. Look at it this way. You're on verse 2, page 1. Or page 2. No. 1, yes.
Yes, if I can, we had made notes on 2 because we had discussed it at length last week.
Yes.
So now we're going to review what you had written down.
Well, I've got one more verse to do on page 2, that's all.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
One more set of notes, yeah, on verse 2.
On verse 2. Okay.
So let's try that. I think everybody got a hold of it, right? Everybody got a hold of it, okay. So we're on verse 2. Let's read first, Clark, read 1 Corinthians verse 2.
Another one of those pages. I wrote the first page with all the verses. Yeah.
And if I have prophetic power,
no.
And understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, and do nothing.
Verse 2.
He was just reading from the page. Chapter 1, verse 2.
Everybody see the space where verse 2 is?
Yes.
Okay. So in our text it says, 1 Corinthians 13. I'm on 1. Give me a second. Right. First, that's second. No, not confused. You got me concerned. There's a difference. Okay.
Now that you got me lost.
No. There we go. 1 Corinthians 13, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, if I have not charity, I am nothing. And what he's saying here is, when he says I am nothing, he's referring to refers to everything in life. Life would have no purpose without love. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Can somebody tell me why? Why you would come to that conclusion? See, now stop right here. This is why I'm doing it this way. Because if you had your notes in front of you, you'd know exactly what the answer was. I want you to think about it.
What?
Okay. The question is, life would have no purpose without love. And the question is, why is that? Why does life not have any purpose without love? Yes.
Well, my note says that love is power.
Okay. That's true.
It's all power.
But we're talking purpose.
Purpose?
Yeah. Why is love necessary for your life to have a purpose?
Without it is meaningless.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But that's, I'm asking you, why? Why is it?
That's what God gives you. Gifts through love.
What'd you say?
Gifts. The Lord gives it through our own basis.
Okay. What was it?
Without the love, Lord does not give you all your gifts.
That's true. What else?
I have love by overcoming evil with good and by having the right attitude.
Okay, that's true. Judy.
Well, I was looking at love is the basis of everything. It's God's love is the strength,
mm-hmm.
and gives us the ability,
mm-hmm.
to do all those other things.
Okay, but what I'm looking for is, why is it, why does life have no purpose without love? And the simple answer to that is because it's not about you. When you love somebody, you cut yourself out of the picture. You are thinking more about somebody else than you are yourself. It doesn't mean you don't think about yourself, but when we're talking about love, when we're talking about me doing something for Tom instead of me doing something for me, by me choosing to do something for Tom, I'm showing my love, and that is the purpose in my life. Now my life has a purpose, that I have somebody that I've been able to help. If I do something for myself, and that's really what we all did before we were saved, because we were in a carnal attitude, right? Life has no purpose except to live another day, to live another carnal day. That's it. But love, the purpose in life has a purpose when you love, because it cuts you out and it brings other people in, and that's what gives life a purpose. There's no purpose without that. None.
And my notes, when I put to cut myself out of, it's not situations.
It's not about me.
What I'm saying is,
cut myself out of the equation.
Equation, thank you.
Okay, everybody understand that? So in other words, when Donna looks at a family member, okay, or somebody that she worked with, or anybody, and in love, she takes her time and she does something for them or helps them with something, her life has a purpose. If Donna just sits home and watches TV, tends a garden, just think about this. She sits home, she tends a garden, she watches TV, she passes her time, she goes to the store, she comes home. Where's the purpose in that? Life's purpose is other people, not you. What's the greatest proof of that?
Jesus
Christ, right? His whole purpose in life, in the life of Jesus Christ, of the life that we know of him, basically three and a half years, we know that his purpose was other people. It wasn't himself. Mm-hmm. Now, if he's our exemplar, that's the example you want to live your life by. I'm not saying you shouldn't do things for yourself. What I'm simply saying to you is that the purpose of life is not you, it's somebody else. Other people is what gives your life purpose. Other people do. Otherwise, you're like that little red fox who gets up every morning, goes out, looks for breakfast, goes back to his little den, sleeps off the day, gets up the next night or the next morning, and he does the same thing. He has no purpose except to eat and survive. That's what we had before we were saved. Because even if we had other people in our lives, it was all conditional. 1 second, Clark. It was all conditional. In other words, we did things because, well, you're my brother, okay? I'll loan you $300. I'll give it to you. Just give it to you. There's no purpose in that. That's family. Or if it's a friend. Or even if you work at a food bank, okay? That is a purpose in the sense that you're helping other people, but it has a short-term result, their life or yours. But you, as a believing Christian, your purpose in life is other people. What does the Bible say? Consider more
of others,
than you do yourself. Mm-hmm. And treat your neighbor like what? Like yourself, mm-hmm. Right? Okay. So all of those things that happen have to do with, and talking about believers, have to do with your purpose in life being other people. Yeah.
Okay, this is true. But would it be serving the Lord be the main purpose? Because when you're serving God and doing His will, then you will be doing all the other stuff naturally. So you don't have to seek to do this stuff. It will just...
He opens up doors for you as his child, and you do it. Yes.
So it's actually serving God, not...
No, it's serving God, but it's giving you a purpose as well.
Right, but that's not our main purpose, is to love. I mean, it is, but it'd be just like with just doing good deeds, and that's nothing.
Right, to do good deeds for the sake of the deeds. Yes, right. But... Well, it's just you're doing it because you love God, because of God, but you're doing it for another reason too. Huh? What'd you say?
For yourself.
Well, in a sense. But what you're, what? But that's all carnal. That's a feeling. You do it to serve God. You do it because He opens up doors and puts people in your life to do it. Okay, but ultimately. That's the purpose of your life.
Right. It's to serve God.
And serving God means other people.
Right.
It doesn't mean yourself. Not inward, but upward and outward.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
There's a verse, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves.
Yeah, that's the verse, yeah.
Not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Philippians 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. So we have to understand that that's the purpose of love. Yeah, Jerry.
So a couple minutes ago when we were talking about this, so my notes were, helping others is my purpose for God's purpose for me and other people.
Yeah, that's true.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So it says, I am nothing also refers to our eternal life. We have not, if we have not love, then we're, if we don't do that, I am nothing also refers to our eternal life. If we have not love, then we are unredeemed. In other words, what he's saying is, if you don't love, if you can't love unconditionally, you're not redeemed. Could you say that you loved your enemy, really loved your enemy, and that you had a based on no condition at all? Could you say that you could do the things that you're doing now, you're in your life before you were saved, without the power God has given you? No, right? So the same thing applies with this. If you can't love, it means that you're not redeemed. And what does the word redeemed mean? How many of you remember? I remember my mother, I'll never forget it. I don't know how old I was just a kid. You remember S&H green stamps?
Yes.
My mother got a sewing machine, and I was with her on the day she brought in 700,000 books of green stamps to get a little sewing machine this big, right? I remember that. She redeemed the stamps for something. If you're not redeemed in Christ, then you can't love. It's impossible to love the way God commands us to love. You can't do it, right?
What are we on now? What do we read from here?
We're still in verse 2.
Oh, okay.
This, and I said, and it says, I am nothing also returns, has to do with our eternal life. I'm telling you that you don't have that. Jerry, look, right. I'm telling you that. It has to do with it. Turn to John 3:36. Gospel of John 3:36.
We're still in verse 2. Okay.
Yes. Yep. John 3:36, Clark. Go ahead and read it. Read 3:36 A and B, and then I want to look at B.
Well, there is love on it.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Good. 3:36. Go ahead.
Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him.
That's love. In other words, he that believes on the Son, what does believing in Jesus Christ mean? What does it mean?
Faith.
Okay. Yeah, faith. That's true. Well, faith is belief, right? Another word for it. Yeah.
Trusting.
Trust. That's true. What else? How about love? Are we supposed to love God? What's the first commandment? You'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and strength, right? So the first commandment says we're to do that, and if we can't do that, then we don't have eternal life. Before you were regenerated, before you came to know Christ as your Savior, before that happened, you weren't regenerated. You were carnal. You were in your sin. Now, 3:36b, the second part of that backs that up. He says, and he that doesn't believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So that's the verse that I'm pointing out to you that says that if you can't love the way you're supposed to love, you don't have biblical love, you don't love. You have eternal life, but it's not with God. Everybody has an eternal life. Let's get that straight. Everybody has one.
Eternal existence.
Better word, existence. You will exist in the eternity in one of two places. And if you don't have love, then you're not going to be in heaven. You're going
to
be in hell.
Sounds like you're saying we have to have it perfectly.
No, you can never have it perfectly. You have to have it, period. And all of us have different degrees of love. Yeah, we grow in love. Love is what is love? We back to the basics. You know, it's an action. right? It describes what you're doing. When I say I love you, that's a verb that's not been acted on. But when I go out and I buy you a greenhouse and say that I love you, that's an action. That's showing love. You understand?
You love your wife more than I love mine, I guess.
That's the levels. That's the levels, right?
Not that far along yet.
Yeah. Yeah, but you see, but but you see, there is levels of that. You're right, Wink. There are some people that can love their enemy without thinking twice about it. There are other people that it might take them a week or two to figure it out, to say, you know what, if I don't love the way I'm supposed to love and I have the power to love, what's stopping me from loving my enemy? Me. I got to stop that. That's the flesh. It's a sin, and it's a sin if I don't love. And Jesus said, if you don't love your brother, what?
I won't love you.
I won't love you. That's to impress upon us the importance of love. And he's saying here in verse 2.
So everybody is our brother.
No. Talking about the
clarification
for all this stuff. Yeah. Well, I'm referring specifically to God's people.
Yeah.
To you, okay?
That's good.
And in our text in verse 2 of of 1 Corinthians, what was it? What did it say again? It says that 1 Corinthians 13, 2.
If I have not,
the end of it.
What's not love?
Yeah. I am nothing. I am nothing. And when you die outside of Christ, you are nothing. You are less than nothing. You are less than nothing. That's the only way to put it. And the separation is eternal. There's no do-overs. There's no coming back from it. So all that being said, let's sum it up. All that being said, what is the application in your mind as to the importance of having biblical love in your life and exercising it?
Verse 7.
I love you. No, really, that's true. Verse 7, let's see. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction of sounds. This is 1 Corinthians. This is 13. Oh, I'm in 14. Oh, okay. Bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things. That's true. What else? What else? Yeah.
God said when you do something for another that you're doing it as
for him.
You're doing it for him. If you give one of mine a cup of cold water, you give it to me. How's that?
Yes.
And what about the other verse that says, they said, oh, I did this and I did that. And he says, I never knew you. What about that? What about it? There was no love in it. When people do things and they do it for reasons outside, and they can't really. If you can't truly love somebody unless you know Christ. There's no such thing as love being conditional. Love should never be conditional. True love is unconditional. It never changes. And if you don't have true love, you have a cheap knockoff of love. And isn't that really what love was before we're saved? Isn't that what it is? It's a cheap knockoff. It's a word we use. It's something we claim. But it's conditional on certain things, and some days it's good, and some days not so much. I need a little ride. I got to get out of here for a while. Da, da, da. There's no love there. So what he's saying here is that if I don't have that, I am nothing, and it refers to the present time, and it refers to eternal life. You got nothing. Zero. Yes?
In Acts, Ananias and Sapphira, when they were given the land, they were copying everybody else, and they were struck down.
So yeah.
Are you saying that, do you think maybe that was because it wasn't out of love, they were doing it out
no.
of
no.
their pride?
No, has nothing to do with that. What they were doing was they were ruining the church. Because what they were doing, you have to remember, when that was taking place, the church was a commune. There were people, they were exiled from the Jews. The Jews would have nothing to do with them because they called themselves Christians. So they were supporting each other. There was a general pool. That's why they said, go out and sell your stuff. And they were taking the resources that came in and they were feeding everybody with them. They were clothing people with them, right? So if it got around that that Linda and Clark sold something, but they kept some back for themselves, that would spread to the church, and the next thing you know, the church would have
Not so much that. The sin there was lying.
Yeah, I understand that.
He said it wasn't was yours. That's not yours.
That's the physical effect, though.
Yeah.
So it wasn't connected with
no.
No. Christian.
So, yeah. So they were basically they were saying they were believing. Wow, that's a good example of wrath. You know, we're reading in John.
First Corinthians, where he said, supposedly there's a many of you sleep.
Yeah,
we're Christians. He said First Corinthians 11.
Yeah, but see, what I'm saying to you is.
I'm trying to
keep it simple. What I'm saying to you is that they were punished for lying to the Holy Spirit. That's what he said in that verse, okay? But the point of that was that the physical act that would have taken place was that the church wouldn't have been able to survive if everybody got carnal. What does the Bible say about a little leaven? Right? So you get a little leaven in the church, with money especially, what happens? It goes like wildfire. So that was those were the reasons. But what is the application that we have when we read that, since you brought it up? What application would you draw from Ananias and Sapphira and what happened to them? Yeah.
The littlest thing that gets into your heart that is not of God and of you that will cause to expand even more grief in your life. Really.
Okay. What else?
Well, my love,
what?
Sorry. My love for God would bring me to be totally honest.
No, but I'm saying, what can we learn from Sapphira, Ananias and Sapphira, in the way God handled that whole situation? What could you learn?
Do not lie.
Fear God.
You say you can
fear God.
Two words. You ready? Yeah. Carnality kills. Carnality kills. Write it down, Wen. It's coming. It's coming to a pulpit near you. Carnality kills.
Is that for verse 3?
No, we're still in 2.
I think it's a church.
Okay. Everybody understand that? And that's the application we take home. And how do we take that home? How do we apply that? How would you apply carnality kills to your life? How would you apply it exactly?
Ooh.
So you can write it down, you can know it, but if you don't know how, it's like the car. I can give you a car keys, and if you don't know how to drive, they ain't gonna do you no good. Knowing it ain't gonna do you no good unless you can apply it. Yeah.
Like the word says, you gotta renew your mind. Romans 12:2, and you gotta stop the negative thoughts and the calm thoughts. You gotta stop them, and you gotta prescription and write instead.
Right. Okay. But how would you use that? How would you use the term carnality kills in your life? It's very simple.
By submission.
Yep. Submission is the antidote.
Yeah.
That's the antidote.
Do
right?
unto others as you want done to.
What?
Do unto others as you would want done.
That's
to.
True.
That's
but let's make. I'll make. I make
sin,
no. I make it personal. Stay away from carnality, Brian. It kills. Stay away from carnality, Judy. It kills. It kills the spirit. You quench the spirit when you're carnal, and there's no benefit to it. Stay away from the carnal attitude. Kill will.
There you go. Kill will.
Kill will.
I can fit kill will.
Be still. Okay. We're done with verse 2, so everybody knows, okay? And I'm going to give you the notes that I have here in verse 2. You don't. That's 1. Verse 1.
Oh, okay. I see. So each page is...
Each page I give you is specifically for the verse. Just pass them out.
Yeah, because I've got that one.
Everybody got it? You guys got it over there? You got it, Lou? You understand? Okay. You got it, Henry? You understand? Kill will. Carnality kills. I like that. I got to get a good verse going with that. That's going to be a good message right there. All right. Did you pass them all out around here?
Pass them around.
Oh, okay. Pass them around. I want every... Go to that table. Yeah.
They figured it's easier than me walking around.
Sure. All right. All right. Okay, now we're on verse 3. Everybody understand that? Verse 3. So you got no notes for that. That's for verse 2.
Only for verse
2. That's your notes. So my suggestion to you is paperclip all of my notes behind your notes. We'll get it figured out. Okay. Oh, wait. Yes.
I don't have the your notes for verse 1.
I did. No, I'll have to send them to you. Oh, you know what? I just found. This isn't gonna work.
The older one, I have to get verse. I do. I have verse too.
I have to send it to you.
Oh, okay.
I got verse.
Okay. Okay. We all quieted down now. Everybody understand that? Okay, we ready? Houston, we have a problem. No, we don't have a problem. You know, I got to tell you something. Sometimes I try to make things easy, and I try to make them so everybody can understand them, and I fail miserably at it. Okay, so you know what? Let's just go with the paper. Okay. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Let's start there. What does that mean? What does it mean to you when you read that? When you read that. Think about yourself when you read that. What does it mean?
I don't think you would give up.
You what?
I'm not sure any of us give up.
I can assure you we don't.
No, no. No. But then yes. But here's the point. Don't use the word all. When you think of that, when you think of the verse, although Brian bestows all my goods to feed the poor, I think of myself as what do I do to feed the poor? What do I do? What is that? First of all, what is that? When you feed the poor, what is it?
There'll be a lot of different things.
Well, give me one.
I voluntary Saturday. Go yeah. on.
So you feed the poor.
I feed the poor.
Okay, what else?
Church.
It's charity, right? You're helping those people that can't help themselves, right? Everybody understand that? Okay, so the benefit in it is what? They eat, right? You do it every Saturday. You feed the poor, right? He's saying, if I give all that I have, what you're giving is you're giving what's given to you. What you give and I give is what we give up from our own resources. Mm-hmm. And he's saying in that verse, if I gave everything to feed the poor, if I gave everything, if I gave all the clothes, bought clothes for all the people that needed clothes, if I did all of that,
everything you have,
if I did that, what does he say in the verse? And then he goes on to add to that, he builds on that, and he says, and though I give my body to be burned, and what does that mean? It's a metaphor. What does it mean? Sacrifice everything. Sacrifice everything you have, right? And he ends that with, it profits me nothing. So in other words, if you just go out and you're just concerned about giving out everything you have to other people just for the sake of giving it, then it profits you nothing. Remember, I've mentioned this before, that when we have a major national disaster, a lot of people run down there and they interview them and they say, you know, I'm down there and I had to go down there. I took my vacation. I went down there to help build houses for them because if that happened to me, that's what I would want someone to do, help me out with it. And although that's very commendable, but in essence, they're not going to help those people as much as they are to help themselves. Help themselves because it makes them feel better to do that. There's no profit in that. There's no profit in you going out on Saturdays. And Ron and I have talked about this. If you have any kind of ministry like that, if you just go there and slop the food on the plate, or you go up to Goodwill and you just throw in the clothes, and you don't put a track in those clothes, or you don't put a track. Give a tract to every so often to somebody that's you're giving a meal to. What's the purpose of it? They're going to need another meal tomorrow. And sooner or later, you're not going to have anything to give. So the whole purpose of it is that's what love is. Love is giving yourself, not giving anything that you own. It's giving yourself. That's what true love is. That's biblical love. And when you give yourself, you give everything. You don't leave anything out. There's not one of you here that has given something to somebody else as a Christian and not given the best you have and given all that you have, no matter what it is. And see, that's really what he's saying here. He's talking about love. We have to always circle back around that verb, love. And it is a verb. And so what he's saying here is that if I give everything I have and I don't do it in love, it profits me nothing. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me in my years as a Christian and said to me, you know, Brian, I'm a very generous person. I give to this, I give to that, all that. I said, and it makes you feel good. Oh, I can't believe how good it makes me feel. I just saw something in a feed. It said that he's on Fox at 9 o'clock. What's his name? Hannity. Hannity was in the gas station and there was a black pregnant woman there and he gave her $25,000. Did him nothing. That money will come and go. Because he did it because he felt bad for her and he wanted her to have something. Commendable. But when you look at this world and you look at it from a spiritual point of view, it profits nothing to do that. If he took that and he gave her the money and then he got her and then he gave her a gospel tract or he took her to a Bible church of some sort, then that profits. Whether she came to know Christ or not. And that's the other point. When you love, you expect nothing.
You expect absolutely nothing. That's what true love is. You expect nothing back. If you expect anything back, then you didn't do it in love. You raised your hand first.
If he didn't have love, he wouldn't even have done it in the first place.
Yeah, but it's carnal love. All carnal love is purposeless. It means nothing. The money's gone.
We know about it.
Yeah.
You know, somehow it made it on social media or the news.
Yeah.
So there's a motive behind it.
And number one, and if you have $28 million, $25,000 is nothing. It's like a $20 bill. Yeah.
So that reminds me of the Good Samaritan. Like,
there you go. Perfect example.
He could have come, just walk by and, okay, you know, help them a little bit or whatever, and gone by with no love in his heart. But he not only picked him up, helped him dress his wounds, he took him, he put money towards
and then
he had to go, so he left him with a person, left money with him to take care of him and did all that.
And that's what love is. In other words, he not only took care of his physical need, he not only took care of his physical need in bandaging him and giving him a place to stay and food. He told the innkeeper, he said, and if he needs anything else, put it to my account. And when you do that, that is the example of biblical love, and that is the love that profits. That is the love that profits. If you're not loving like that, don't even bother. It's sort of like going to church. If you're not going to church to learn about God and learn the truth about God, don't go to church. Mow your neighbor's lawn and maybe you'll get a lunch out of it, okay? You'll get more out of it than you will coming to a church just to go to church.
It has to glorify.
What were you saying?
It has to glorify.
To your sister.
Oh, no. She was saying, she didn't understand if you're doing that, you're doing it out of love with the hand, you think? And I said, well, no, that's just human compassion.
That's exactly right.
That is. But it's got to glorify God. Whatever our actions are, it's got to glorify God, like you said, with the tracks or whatever. If it's not glorifying God in some way, what's the sense of it?
Exactly right.
It's all karma.
There's no purpose to it.
There's a verse that says, I hate bringing verse up, I don't know where they are, but it says, when you do things, do them, you know, so
yeah,
people don't see
yeah
them.
Oh, yeah. Don't let your left hand see what your right hand is doing. Yeah. Yeah, that's, you do that with offerings. Like when you give an offering and you do the envelope, you shouldn't put a dollar amount on there. All you should put on that envelope is a name, period. That's it. And the reason is for that. So what I want to impress upon you the idea of what love is when it comes to giving. And I'm not talking about offerings, I'm talking about in your life. When you give yourself and you do it to help somebody else, that's profitable. When you do it, just say, well, I got to do it because he did something for me, that's not profitable. There's no credit to you for that. Yeah.
Do your deeds in secret, then your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
There you go.
There you go. Thank you.
So if you're donating to Goodwill without a track, it means nothing?
Probably not. I would say no. But if I were going to give clothes to Goodwill, I'd put tracks in all of them.
Okay, I never thought of it, to be honest with you. Yeah, but I'm giving out of my heart to,
See, the problem that people don't understand is that you may not be able to give. And a matter of fact, Wendy's given stuff, and I never thought about telling her to do that. But when I give stuff to Goodwill, that's normally what I do. I'll put tracks in the pant pockets and the shirt pockets. They're going to go through them, and they're going to see it. That's all you want. See, what people don't understand about tracts is that tracts is the easiest way to give the gospel message and the greatest gift you could ever give another human being. That man sitting there got saved by tracts. Mike got saved by tracts. I can't tell you how many people through the years have told me that they got a tract in a stuck in their heart. So it's so easy to give them out.
We plant
the
water.
That's it. You see, what we think is that we have to talk to them, we have to do this. What we say means nothing it's only when God speaks, and if you have a track and you put it, and you put a track in there, they're reading what God says, not what you say.
Right.
Yeah. What I used to drive for a living, and I got permission from the state to do it. Janitor at the rest house. I used to do the track every day on the bulletin board down there.
Yep.
I don't know what happened to the track. I don't know if it ever affected anybody, but it's not my job. The Lord would have been there.
And I want to bring it up again. I'll bring it up because it's a wonderful testimony.
And Henry over there was a recipient of
some tracks.
Quite a few of my tracks.
And not just that, Tony. Look at Tony. When he worked with Wink, he gave him tracks for a couple of years. What did Tony do? He took them home and gave them to his wife. His wife got saved, and then Tony got saved, and because they were looking for him. So tracks really work. You just have to plant them. They're so simple to do. And you know what? Some people say, well, that's disingenuous. You're planting this. You're giving people things they may or may not want. Poppycock. I got to tell you something. There are a lot of people in hell that probably wished that somebody would have given them a track. Well, sort of.
There's a gentleman who goes, every time he goes to the library,
yeah,
he puts them in books. Like, especially books that are on mysticism and all that.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, we have to close.